Let's go ahead and pray and really ask the Holy Spirit to do what he is called to do, to teach us, to reveal truth to us, so that our lives can be lined up with his will in every part. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been promised to be sent to us, and we ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us your word. Open up the word of God to us. Open up your truth to us. Show us what you want us to learn today about you, how you guide us, how you lead us, and how you work alongside of us to do the things that you've called us to do. And so help us today, God. We open our hearts and our ears and our wills to whatever you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you hadn't had a chance to hear last Sunday, you might want to go back online and get that about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I gave some examples, some illustrations, some things that have happened to me. And I also believe that all of us have the opportunity to hear from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. But it is clear that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. He is passionate about doing it. He wants to be our teacher. He wants to be our comforter. He wants to be our helper. And he wants to be our guide. That's his role. That's his mission. That's why he's sent here on the earth to do those things. And so I believe that he wants to do that, but because he is a spirit, he's not a human being. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. He is spiritual. We, on the other hand, are natural. So what we have to do is we have to get ourselves in a spiritual place where he can speak to us or we can relate to him. Now, he is a person, so he's going to do that in a personal way to everybody. But we can't be thinking carnally or naturally and still have the Holy Spirit help us and teach us. We must be in the place where he can speak to us in our spirits. Show of hands here. How many of you would say, Pastor Tom, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me and lead me? Not everybody believes that. Some people don't believe they're worthy, or some people don't believe that they're good enough. But I believe that if you really know what God says, you know he wants to lead you. You know he wants to help you and guide you. All right? So let me ask you this question. How many of you have been led by the Holy Spirit at some time? Okay? So let's take 30 seconds, turn to somebody, and tell them when the Holy Spirit led you. It's a little harder than answering the question, but that's all right. Go ahead. This is where you get to talk. Where has the Holy Spirit led you? Just tell him. If it's just personal, just say, some personal time in my life. None of your business. Hopefully that the Holy Spirit leads us enough where we'll just come up with all kinds of things right off the top of our head. He led me to get married to my spouse. Not so much. Okay. Led you to come to church today? Yeah, if you need the Holy Spirit for that, you're in trouble. All right. Here's the thing. As followers of Christ, Jesus said that you will hear his voice and that you will follow it. All right. Throw it up on the screen, Tom. John 10, verse 27. It says this. Jesus says this. My sheep will hear my voice, right there, John 10, 27. You got that? My sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? That's what Jesus said. My sheep know my voice, I know them, and they follow me. This means we hear him speak. And like I said, if you're in the carnal, natural realm, you may not hear him speak, but hopefully after today, you'll be able to know how to hear, listen to him, how to hear him so that he can guide you and lead you. Would you like that? Okay, well, you're in the right place, and I guess I am too. Good. So he will speak to us. We will understand what he says. Jesus said that. And he gives us the ability to do what he tells us. And those are the three things I'm going to talk about today. You will hear him, he will help you understand what he says, and he will give you the ability to do what he says. Now, he won't change your will. You will have to want to do what he says, but that's another sermon. Jesus promises this. We will hear him if we listen. We will understand him if we are willing, and we will obey him if we take the step to receive his help to do what he says. Okay? So first, we have to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have events at the church, like, well, I just made a couple of announcements about events we're having at the church. You know, we're doing this Wednesday night, and then we're doing the new believers class, the getting started class after church. We have a sign up outside for baptism if anybody wants to receive water baptism. But sometimes we'll do an event at the church, and somebody will find out about it who missed the event, and they'll come up to me later and say, you know, Pastor Tom, I wish I would have known about that. I would have been there. You know, they've been pastoring 26 years now. I've sat around tables with people who are planning events, and their question is, how can we make sure everybody knows about it? So I'm thinking they would have come if they would have known about it. I'm thinking, well, let's see. I made an announcement in church for many weeks. I've made an announcement in church. I've put an invite card together and put it in the bulletin and probably on some of our tables. I actually wrote the announcement in the bulletin. Let's see. I published it on the website. And maybe in some events, I'll send out an email blast to people who've given me their email and announce it. And I'm thinking, the only other thing I could have done is maybe drive over to their house, knock on their door, and put them in my car and bring them over. So what's my point? The point is if you're not in a place, if you're not doing what it takes to receive information, you're not going to know about what's going on. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. If you're not in a place where you are listening to his announcement, you're not going to know what he is telling you. And this is very important. We have to be listening to what he says. So Jesus' promise, he says, if we listen, we will hear what he says. John 14:26. John 14:26, Jesus said, Tom, are you up there? He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, that's an awesome promise. The Holy Spirit, in other words, he's going to do his job, right? What's our job? To listen to what he says. Jesus says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he promises to give it to you. Let's look at this scripture in Luke chapter 11:11-13. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Now, you see, in some people's lives, or if I could just say maybe in some Christian circles, they kind of think that the things of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit himself are kind of spooky. They're kind of scary, all right? Well, Jesus says the Holy Spirit isn't scary. He's a good gift. You need to want this gift. You need to ask for this gift, and when you ask for it, he will give you the Holy Spirit, not something weird. I know we just celebrated Halloween. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you a demon. All right? I've heard some people say that when you speak in tongues, that you're being influenced by a demon. Well, the gift of tongues isn't from the devil. Otherwise, they would be doing it in the strip clubs. They would be speaking in tongues in the bars. They would be speaking in tongues in the prisons. The Holy Spirit, where we speak in tongues is everywhere the Holy Spirit is giving us utterance, among all the other gifts that the Holy Spirit brings. Now, Jesus knew the importance that the Holy Spirit was because he said to his disciples, in fact, he commanded them when he left, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Stay there until the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you. So what we need to understand, it's not that they didn't have the Holy Spirit or they weren't born again, because when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they had the Holy Spirit. What they needed is the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the place where they were empowered with the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, with the boldness of the Holy Ghost, with the discernment of God to be able to do things that were supernatural. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do when he speaks to you, is he wants to give you insight into life, into the things of the Spirit, into the things of God, so you can live a supernatural life and go beyond just mere existence. See, this is what I think makes Christianity stand out among any other lifestyle, is that when we're walking in the Holy Spirit, when we're walking in tune with what God is saying to us, it's like going through life cheating. You know, you have the answers to things. You have warnings about things. You have direction for things. You have wisdom about things. You have supernatural enablements about things to pray and see God heal people, for breakthroughs in people's life, for words of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will come and show you things to come, prophetic things. Don't borrow money right now, or this is a good time to borrow money, or don't do this right now, or take that job. Show you things to come. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It's awesome. So Jesus says to them, do not leave Jerusalem. He says this to his disciples when he was with them before he left. He says, he commanded them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John was baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in not many days. This is the promise that he gave, that the Father has given. Now, it wasn't just for the apostles. That's the other thing many Christians say is, well, the power of the Holy Spirit was a promise just for the apostles. I beg to differ, because the thing about it is, when he said, this is the promise that you heard from me, from the Father, he says, and Peter said in Acts 2, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. There is no restriction here on the gift of the Holy Spirit to the first century church, or the things of God to the first century church. In contrary, the thing that would be the most devastating to the church, the thing that would be the most crippling to the church, is if the devil could lie to the church and say the power of the Holy Spirit was only for when, you know, to get it started up. I'll tell you what, you needed, and I need it just as much now as they did in the first century. I mean, the devil hasn't gone to sleep. All the lost people in the planet haven't come to Christ. Persecution hasn't stopped. Sickness hasn't gone away. I mean, we need the gifts of the Spirit now just as much as they ever did. And I believe the closer it comes to the end times, we're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost more than ever before. We're going to be able to have the Holy Spirit say to us, do this, do that, pray this, lands on that person, avoid them, guiding us, directing us, empowering us, giving us the boldness to do what he asks us to do. So if you're taking notes today, there's a place to do that on your bulletin. There are three things you need to do to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I kind of mentioned them already. Number one, you need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You need to understand what he says, and you need to be willing to do what he says, or obey. First, let's talk about listening to the Holy Spirit. So I'll put it in form of a question. How much of a priority is it to hear the Holy Spirit? How much of is it a priority in your life to listen to the Spirit's voice? When you're not doing anything else, when you can devote undivided attention away from all distractions, all the demands of life, all the voices that try to draw you in another direction. I've told people this from time to time because this is how it works for me. If I'm sitting down trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, trying to communicate with Him so I'm in a place to hear Him, you know what happens to me? All these ideas come to my head. You know, you need to clean the garage. I think you need gas in the car. You know, you told your wife you were going to pick up some milk. I mean, I sit down to listen to the Holy Spirit, and my brain just goes into overdrive on all the things that I was supposed to be doing. What in the world is going on here? I don't know. You might say, well, the devil's doing that. Well, the devil's not. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's subtly telling me, you need to be doing all this instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. Either that or my mind's just never quiet enough to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I've got to train it. So what I've done is when I get to the place, I intentionally have a legal pad, and I just write all the stuff down. And I write down about 25 things, and I'll go, anything else? Anything else? And I just get it all done, and I push that aside, and okay, now, Holy Spirit, it's your turn. I've got everything that I think I need to think about out of my brain, and now I'm going to train myself to just listen to you. And normally, it's perfect because then I've got everything, you know, could be like for 5 years, everything I thought of I needed to do for 5 years. I wasn't thinking about it before. I was thinking about when the Packers are playing or what I'm supposed to eat for dinner. Now I'm all thinking about all this productive stuff, but that gives me no excuse for not listening to the Holy Spirit. So then I allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me. And I have another legal pad for that. And in my Bible. And whatever I need to have in order for the Holy Spirit to help speak to me. Because here's what I know. When I get with Him, the Holy Spirit is always talking to me. I'm just not always listening. I'm not always listening. But when I start to listen, He's always talking to me. Even if it's just personal stuff, like He wants to have a community. Thank you for sitting down and talking to me. It's about time. I have some important things to tell you. Open the Bible up to this scripture. Remember that scripture, because He will bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus has told me. Now, you need to ask forgiveness to this person. See, now when I'm writing my to-do list, I don't normally write down, I need to go ask this person for forgiveness. But when the Holy Spirit's talking, normally there's one or two in there. Remember you promised this? Remember you promised me that you were going to do that? Holy Spirit will do that. He'll remind me of what I told Him. He doesn't remind me about what Jesus said. He reminds me of what I said. Are you with me? All right. This is how it works for me. I'm just Pastor Tom. This is how it works for me in my real life. Okay? There's not some magical formula here. It is very practical. Get all your business out of the way so you can do the Holy Spirit can do His business with you. Because He wants to do business. Okay? He wants to do business. Yes, He wants a relationship with you, but He has things He wants to get done through you. He has an agenda that He wants to communicate to you so that you can walk on this earth and do several things. You can glorify God. You can honor God wherever you go. You can fulfill the calling that He has upon your life. You can be a blessing and a help to those that you come in contact with, because now you're under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit then can begin to manifest. So when you're in an awkward situation and you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you don't go flying off the handle. You walk in patience and endurance. You walk in faithfulness. You don't quit. You walk in all the fruits of the Spirit. You walk in love. You walk in meekness. You walk in humility. You walk in gentleness. And this is what happens when we get the Holy Spirit to a place of our life where He's actually leading and guiding us, where He's coming alongside and helping us. The fruit of the Spirit really begins to produce these characteristics. It's the characteristics of Jesus. But many times the reason we don't have them, you know, and we're just all about ourselves, or it's not the way God wants us to operate, it's because we haven't spent the time. Because when His word comes to us It's inspiring. I mean, it may be convicting, it may be corrective, it may be instructive, but it is inspiring because if it's the Word of God carries with it the creative power to bring itself to pass. And that Word is planted in our heart. You know, somebody said when the angel came to Mary and said, "Behold, Mary, you will have a son, and you will call his name Jesus." That was the Word of the Lord. That Word was planted in her heart, which is what caused her to conceive. The Word is a seed. Well, when God wants to conceive something in our life, he speaks his Word into our heart. And faith is conceived, and then action is conceived, and then fruit is conceived, and the world around us becomes more godly. When we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, and we're not doing what we say, we just go about our normal, carnal, natural, good ideas, whatever, bad ideas, but the world doesn't really change. Except, the world never stays the same. The world is either becoming more like God or more ungodly. And so when we're not doing anything, the world just becomes more ungodly because we're just going along to get along, aren't we? We're going downstream. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's like a motor on the back of our canoe, and we can go upstream, and we can take some people with us to a higher level of life. So let me ask it this way. How many of you would say you should spend more time listening to the Holy Spirit? Okay? All right. And the reason is because we're busy. Oh, so busy. How's that song go? We're just so busy. We're doing so many things. We're going here. We're going there. We're having to do this. We're having to do that. And then we get done all day, and we go, where did I go? What did I do? What was I so busy doing? But we knew we were busy. If somebody comes in and asks you, have you been busy? As if you weren't busy, that would be a crime. Demands, emergencies, responsibilities, all these pressures, you know, press us into a lifestyle. And the thing that you have to realize is that there are things that we have to do in life to just maintain. However, you have to have your priority as listening to the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with him above all else. And then he will order the rest of it. Now, in my own personal life, if I don't make a conscious choice to set aside time to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it rarely happens. I mean, it may happen in the course of everyday activities, and I want to listen to him in there, but I'm talking about getting in tune with in a place with the Holy Spirit where if he has a longer period of time where he wants to have a discourse with me, I'm not interrupted by something. If you have an office job, you may have a door on your office. There's a reason for that, because when you're on the phone or you're in a meeting, you close the door, because otherwise, you know, the door is open. We had this discussion on staff. When the door is open, it means anybody can walk in. When the door is closed, it means you can knock, but don't just walk in my office. Okay. In case anybody needed to know what that means. In our house, it's the bathroom. The door is closed. You can't just walk in. But I live with two ladies, so. Dad, what are you doing? The door was open. What you need to do when you want to get with the Holy Spirit is you need to close the door on some things in your life. So nothing else comes in to bother you. And if you don't have time to get into a room and close the door and be with the Holy Spirit, your life's a mess. You're all messed up, baby. Here's something interesting. As I was preparing this talk, God asked me this question. What if I listen to you the same way you listen to me? What if I listen to you the same way you listen to me? God said, would you want me to listen to your prayers in the same way that you listen to the voice of my Spirit? Zechariah chapter 7, Tom. We'll put this up on the screen. Here's what God says about his people in Zechariah 7, 11 to 13. Go. But they refused to heed or listen. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. The great wrath, therefore, the great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. I mean, if we're not going to listen to God, why should his number be 911? There's a great pastor that I received from. He would always say, God doesn't drive a paramedic truck. God doesn't drive an ambulance. Does that understand what I mean? Okay. In other words, it's like, how come the only time we want God involved with our life is when we're about to die, or we feel like we're dying, or there's such a crisis, we know there's no other way out other than to turn to God? Well, thank God we turn to God, but that's not the way he's designed our relationship to be with him. In fact, a lot of times, we may have never gotten to the place where our life is falling apart if God was involved with it to begin with. I mean, the Holy Spirit isn't leading us into destruction. Hello? The Holy Spirit isn't leading us into stupid choices. He's not leading us into bad relationships. The Holy Spirit's not leading us into places that are going to destroy us. He's leading us into the abundant life. So I would just say, in the areas of my life where I've had the most crisis and the most problems, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that was leading me there. It was Tom Wilkie going, I wonder if this would be a good idea. Did I pray about it? No, I didn't pray about it. I just wanted to do it. I really did want to do it. I really did want to go do that and be with these, spend that money. I just really wanted to do it. And I knew that I could always call spiritually 911, right? God will always be there. He'll bail me out. Well, not according to Zechariah. If you don't listen to him, you may just have to eat the fruits of your own destruction. Somebody said, you made your bed? You lie in it. All right? Can you imagine if we would be constantly listening, how much trouble we could avoid, how much time would... I mean, some of us, we have two jobs just because we've made those stupid decisions without listening to the Holy Ghost. And now we're saying, well, I got two jobs, so I can't pray to the Holy Ghost. Oh, just repent. Just pretend before Pastor Tom reads any more of your mail. Here's what I'm getting at. It's critical for our relationship with God, for us to have a relationship with God in order for us to fulfill the purpose and the calling that he has for our life. It's critical for us to make decisions to be able to hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's critical for us to spend time with him to get his direction and his will on certain matters. We have to make it a top priority in our life. Now, let me look at what the scripture says about how God speaks to us. Let me just read this for you. It's Hebrews chapter 1:1. You may be familiar with this. It says, in former days, God at various times spoke in various ways to the fathers by the prophets. But now he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God spoke to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus is was the incarnation, the manifestation, the revelation, the representation, the communication of God the Father on the earth. Jesus spoke the word of God. That's why when the Bible writers in their translations, they usually have the words of Jesus in red, because it's God speaking the word on the earth. He was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, although it's not what we would call the canon of the Bible, something that's written down, it is the word of God to us. And we'll talk about how to confirm that here in a minute. But it is the Word of God to us. And if we listen to it and understand it and obey it, it's like taking the Scripture and obeying what that says. It'll produce fruit. So that's what the Scripture says, is that He spoke to us through Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, if you remember this story about Jesus, he went up on this mountain, and we call it the Mount of Transfiguration, because he was transfigured before the apostles that he took with him, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, he took with him. And there up on that mountain, the Father came down, and there the glory of God covered them, and with the Father came Moses and Elijah. And here's Peter, James, and John. You know, Peter got all goofy about it and goes, "Woo, this is so cool. Let's build three houses. We'll all just stay here." Whatever. I don't even know why that's in the Bible. So that's what Peter says. But anybody remember what God said? He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Not Peter, no. Of course, we don't listen to Peter. We listen to Jesus. But there was Jesus, and there was Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses, if you remember, wrote the law. Elijah represented the prophets. So here you have the encompassing of the whole Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And then you have Jesus. And of the law and the prophets, God the Father says, okay, this is now this is my beloved Son. Now listen to him. He's the confirming voice for us. Okay? So here's Jesus, the one that we're supposed to be listening to. And he's finished his earthly ministry, and he's about to be ascending into heaven. So now what are we going to do? He's there with the disciples, and he's about to be ascending into heaven. And he says this to his disciples. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't handle them right now. Great. And you're leaving. However, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself or his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it or tell it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and he will declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit has been sent here to take the place of Jesus on the earth by communicating everything that God wants us to know. Somebody says, well, it would be so nice if we could be back then. We'd have God right face to face and walking with us. I think it's even better, because now we have the Holy Spirit walking with us all the time, walking with every single one of us at all times, telling us all things that Jesus said to us, telling us all things that the Father wants us to know. See, I believe he's constantly talking to us. When we get into a place where we're hearing his voice, we can live out our day by making the decisions, by having him direct us. And even if we don't know at the moment, we can stop and say, Holy Spirit, okay. And he can give you a confirming voice. Now, I don't believe the Holy Spirit 99.9% of the time will speak in an audible voice. So it's not like, you know, you have to stop and you have to hear, turn the radio station down or whatever you're doing. Shh, 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 shh. Let's listen. But I believe he will speak to you in your inner man, in your spirit man. Okay? In case anybody didn't know this, when God speaks, he speaks to your spirit. Now, what is that? Well, it's the real you. The real you is a spirit. When you were born an eternal being. When you die, your spirit continues. Your body gets buried in the ground, and your spirit continues. So you have a body, you live in a body, you are a spirit, and you have a soul, which the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? You are made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. So when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to your body. He doesn't speak to your necessarily speak to your mind or your emotions or your will. He speaks to your spirit. And when you hear that voice in your spirit, if we go back into the scriptures where the prophet was going to see what God was going to say, and he looked for God in the wind, and he wasn't there. He looked for God in the fire, and he wasn't there. He looked for God in the earthquake, he wasn't there. But God showed up in a still, small voice. Now, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. It's driving some of you nuts already. I've done this before. I just got still. I fell asleep. You ever get still before God and just, I'm just going to listen to God? And you fall asleep? Yeah. It's probably because it's been such a long time since you actually gotten still that you're not used to it. Now, I'm not speaking for everybody here, but the majority of us, our society does not want us to be still. You know, our technology has not created a more peaceful lifestyle. I mean, none of it has, particularly in the last 6 or 7, 8 years. It's created an environment where there's always information coming to us. Now, if you want information from the Holy Spirit, you've got to try to close the door to some of that, or all of it, or whatever. But you just got to close the door to that and get to a place where you're hearing the Holy Spirit. Now, once you know what you're listening for when the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to you, then you can get more used to hearing him throughout the day. But there's got to be a place where you're confident, because when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, he's not telling you, you know, what kind of pizza to order. He's not, you know, he's not telling you sometimes, I mean, I don't take issue with some things, but he's going to tell you things that have to do with your calling and your purpose and your character and your relationships and things that affect eternity. He's going to call out some things in your life that are going to help you to make good, wise, godly choices, okay? Now, again, he is speaking to you as a Christ follower. You will be able to understand it, and then the only thing that is left in your makeup is, I have a will. I have a want to. You know, wanting something, willing something, your will, your want, that's the same thing. I will do that. I want to do that. So what you have to realize is that when you go, I want that, then you have been given a part of your brain that can be connected to your spirit and go, but that's not what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. I now have a part of my brain that says, I can choose. I can choose, even though I want that, I can choose to want what God wants. Okay? Now, one of the other things that get involved with your choice making is your feelings. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't want this. I don't want that. Okay? So these are your feelings many times. But in your will, if you go, if I'm submitting my will over to God, you ask God to help put the desires in my heart. He will give you the desires of your heart, not the lust of your flesh. He will put the desires, he will put his desires in your heart. Do you get the difference of that? Sometimes the Bible says, sometimes we read the Bible, he'll give me the desires of my heart. And what we really mean, God gives me the lusts of my flesh. No, no, no. He gives you the desires. So if the desires that you have are not even in the Bible, then you need to spend more time asking God to put his desire in you. You will desire to love people, to forgive people, to serve people, to be unselfish, to give to people. You will have a desire to spend time with God. And if that's not where you're at, you need to ask God, I want the desires that you have for me. And then once those are desires of there, then if your flesh says, well, I want to eat 7 coconut cream pies, or I want to do this, or whatever. you can say, all right, so I'm not schizophrenic. Flesh, the Spirit of, when the Bible says, when the Spirit of God comes, I'm not under the law. However, it also says that if I'm led by the flesh, I'll end up dying. If I'm led by the Spirit, I'll end up living. So I have a choice. Am I going to do what the flesh wants, or am I going to do what the Spirit wants? And in the book of James, it says these two fight after each other. These two are fighting. Eat all you want. Nope, fast. Love everybody. Ah, they don't love me. Get out of bed and pray. Ah, and I'm so tired. I mean, we can come up here with a million examples of what your flesh is always trying. See, here's the thing. Your flesh is an enemy of God. And now when you get saved, you were born of the Spirit, but you still live in this flesh. And now as a honor and a thanks to God, you will say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. Because I'll tell you, anybody living in the flesh, even if they're saved, anybody living in the flesh is not bringing glory and honor to God. They're not accomplishing the will of God because the flesh cannot accomplish the will of God. This wasn't a sermon about your flesh, but if you're going to hear from the Spirit, you got to understand that that's the biggest obstacle that you face is doing what the flesh wants. The flesh does not want to forgive people. And I'll tell you what, if you're walking in unforgiveness, you can just write off hearing the Holy Ghost. Forget it. You're in bitterness and unforgiveness. If you're running around talking about people, criticizing them and judging them, if you think you're better than them because you've got pride, the Holy Ghost doesn't have anything to say to you except one word. Repent. Repent. Fall on your face, repent. Break your pride. You're not in control. Okay. Okay. Then he'll start talking to you. The Holy Spirit isn't going to talk to you if you are going to give your flesh. See, here's another thing. I always used to say this about the will. People, how do I know the will of God? Well, first of all, God's not going to reveal his will to you so you can decide whether you're going to do it. He's going to reveal his will to you because you have chosen to do his will, and then he'll tell you. But he doesn't throw his will out there for the most part, as an option. Now, his will is in his word, and you can choose to do that or not. But if you want to get down to really some things about what God's will is for your life, if you're not going to do it, why would he tell you? So this is where the Spirit says, all right, crucify the sinful flesh, follow the Holy Spirit, and you'll have life. You'll have the will of God. Okay? See, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, although it is a promise, it is a conditional promise. The guidance of the Holy Spirit comes when we're flowing in following and listening with the intent to obey. If we're in the natural, we are not going to even understand it if he told us. Paul said this to the Corinthians, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually understood. This is why if you really get into a place where you're hearing the voice of God, you've got to be careful who you talk to about it. Because most Christians are walking around just thinking with their natural mind and their flesh. You'd be surprised how many great ideas as a pastor I've heard from Christians that are, and if I did them, they were totally goofy. Oh, but they sound such great ideas. Well, it's not a great idea if it's not a God idea to me. Now, some of the things that God has told me, I'm like, I don't understand why God would want us to do that. God has ever told you something, you may go, I don't understand why God wants me to do that. It doesn't make any financial sense, it doesn't make any this sense, it doesn't make any that sense. But this is what God, I believe, is telling me. In fact, it's in the Bible. And when you get into that place, then the Holy Spirit can take your decision and create something in the natural realm that would have, in a minute that would have taken you a year or 10 years. Hey, if the Holy Spirit wants something to want you to be a blessing to somebody, and he gives you an idea, that idea can give you more income in 1 year than you can get in an entire lifetime. Now, most of the time, that idea for income doesn't come overnight. It comes with the Holy Spirit putting all kinds of boundaries in your life. And sometimes those seem even more restrictive, but he's asking you to be faithful, and that faithfulness at the end of the journey is going to cause you to be something that you never could have been by trying to work it all out yourself. See, God thinks so different than we do. He doesn't need to have all the processes and the structure. I mean, sometimes he'll do that, but most of the time it's just to keep us safe. Many times, if God wants to do something, he'll just say, stretch forth your staff, and the waters will part. Stretch forth my staff, and the waters will part. Poof, there it goes. Okay, follow me. What did God say to Moses? He said, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Well, I don't have enough to do that. I don't have enough of this. God says, what is in your hand? Most of the time, God's just going to use what we got and miraculously multiply it. Well, I can't use that. I got to have that for myself. I can't give that away. So these are examples of how the Holy Spirit will speak to you, but you can't understand it with your natural mind. He is inside of you. He is going to speak to you, but you have to be willing to listen, and you have to be willing to obey. And when he's speaking to you, when he's guiding you, you have to be careful, like I said, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Not to grieve the Holy Spirit by walking in unforgiveness, by walking in judgment, by walking in pride, by walking in selfishness and fleshly carnal thinking. I mean, you can be having a great relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you can just make one bad fleshly decision, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, we've got to have to start all over. In fact, we've gone way back before start over. In fact, there are some mistakes we make that the Holy Spirit can't even fix. I shouldn't call them all mistakes, but there are things that we do that would be considered on the surface as a mistake that the Holy Spirit can't even fix. Because some things, when seeds are planted, things grow. Things are planted, they grow. It's the law sowing and reaping, baby. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Don't disregard his guidance. Don't stand in judgment and condemnation of others or unforgiveness and bitterness. Here's one. Don't live in sexual immorality. You had to come to church to hear that? Yeah. All right. Maybe you're not going to hear it anywhere else. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to you if you're living in sexual immorality. For those of you on the podcast. Of course, nobody hears like that. So, but you may know somebody who knows somebody, and you can always tell them that. Okay? The Holy Spirit's got a plan and purpose for your life, but don't ignore it, because that's what he's here to reveal to you. So listen to the Holy Spirit, then understand what he's saying. Okay? When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they weren't able to receive what he was saying, and here's the reason. He says to them in Matthew 13, he's quoting Isaiah the prophet. He says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears they cannot hear because they have closed them, and their hearts cannot understand them because they're hard, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Because they have closed their eyes, they have closed their ears. You ever been in a place where somebody's talking, but you're not listening? That's what he's talking about here. You hear the words, but you're not receiving what's being said. Understanding what the Holy Spirit is telling us requires us to open our hearts to what he wants to say. You know, you've just, one of the things, there's a couple of things that the Holy Spirit, I believe, really loves. He loves honesty, but he loves humility along with it. He wants us to be honest, but I'll tell you one thing. He's not a person that he should lie. It's the Spirit of truth. If you try to tell the Holy Spirit something and you're used to kind of covering up your story or giving a lot of excuses with it, the Holy Spirit's like, now listen to this. Don't lie to me. Tell it the way it is. Yeah, I did this because I'm selfish. Yeah, I'm living in sexual immorality because blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm withholding God's tithe because blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm doing this on the side because, tell them, that's called repentance. The rest is just pretending. And I believe with the Holy Spirit, you're either a player or a pretender. There ain't no in between. You're the player or pretender. So if you're going to play, step up. If I was in a men's group, I'd say, step up and be a man. It may take some courage. It may take some humility. But in the end, it'll all work out. He is the Spirit of grace, too. Okay? But he doesn't want you making excuses for your disobedience. If you really want to understand and listen to his voice, you're going to have to come clean. You're going to have to come clean. So here's, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you're going to understand what he says. And here's how. Number one, there's a couple of ways. Number one is that there's going to be what's called an inner witness. This is a word from the scripture. An inner witness, something that testifies or confirms with your spirit that this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Here's what Paul says in Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies, bears witness, or confirms together with our spirit that we are God's children. Another place Paul says, I tell you the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit bears witness with me in my conscience. You'll have the Holy Spirit be able to convict you of sin, give you a check or a witness that you should do this or you shouldn't do that. One way to understand the witness of the Holy Spirit is that it's kind of like a green light for your spirit man. And if you get a hesitation, the Holy Spirit says, he's not giving you that green light. You have to be sensitive to that. You know how many mistakes you could avoid if you just asked the Holy Spirit before you made a decision? The Bible also calls this the peace of God. The peace of God. When you're making a decision, the Holy Spirit will give you a peace when you know it's the right thing. Okay? Colossians says, 3:15 in the Amplified says this, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. So this peace is a governor or a guide in our heart when we're asking the Holy Spirit to tell us, is this the right thing? Or is this the wrong thing? The Holy Spirit will give us a peace knowing what decision. So another way to understand the Holy Spirit's talk is through the Word of God. Now, for some of us, this may be like the number one thing, but the Word of God is always going to confirm what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Now, sometimes that gets a little tricky because the Word of God doesn't tell you who to marry. The Word of God doesn't tell you necessarily what church to go to or what place to work or this, that, or what to do with this here in these situations. However, it'll give you the principles to be able to follow. For example, who do I marry? Well, the Word of God does give you some guidance on that. It says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't marry an unbeliever, okay? Your mission in life isn't to marry this person to get him saved. So there's some principle in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will confirm. He won't go against that. The Holy Spirit will not tell you, move in with your boyfriend. The Holy Spirit won't tell you. If you hear the word move in with your boyfriend, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's the demon. If the Holy Spirit says divorce your husband and marry this other man, that's not the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Holy Spirit will tell you. If you're having problems with your marriage, make an appointment with Pastor Tom and Lori. That's what the Holy Spirit will tell you. After he tells you, forgive them, love them. As far as it be for you, walk in peace with all men. That's what the Holy Spirit will tell you. All right. I'm just giving you examples here. I mean, the Holy Spirit is personal and practical. It's going to tell you about your situation, where you're at. Now, if that's the kind of guidance you want from the Holy Spirit, just get ready, because he'll lead you in every decision that you'd like to make. The best way to be deceived is by not finding out what the Scriptures say about your situation. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit, even though he's speaking, he will confirm it with the Word of God. I believe this. If it's a life-changing decision especially, and most of them are when the Holy Spirit's speaking, you can ask him where it is in the Word of God. And if you're willing to look and find it, he will show you. Because he's respectful and honorable, and all you're doing is trying to confirm to make sure that you're not missing it somewhere. And he's a guide. He's guiding you into all truth. One of the ways is through the Word of God. Another reason why we need to be in the Word and be learning the Word, sitting under the Word in our teaching, like on Sundays and other times, be receiving the Word of God so that we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he's bringing to our remembrance what we have heard. Another way to make a mistake by listening to the Holy Spirit is not praying about your decisions. You pray and submit them to the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench him, and do not despise prophesying or prophecy, but test all things and hold fast to that which is good. So we allow the Holy Spirit to be able to speak. We don't quench that. But then he says, but test it. But test it. Sometimes people want to prophesy, but they don't want it tested. He says to do both. Let the prophecy run. Listen to God, but then test it. Test it with the Word of God. And I would say the second thing you could do is test it with seasoned spiritual leaders or pastors. Test it. Especially if it's life-changing. All right, let me close with this. This is very simple. The third way to be guided by the Holy Spirit, number one, hear him. Two, understand what he says. Number three, anybody know what number three was? Shout it out. Obey. Excellent. Excellent. Obey. Paul said in Romans, if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, this is Romans 8, 13 and 14, if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body, you will really live forever. So if you're living according to the sinful deeds of the flesh, it's going to kill you. Newsflash, right? But if you're living to the if you're living to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing what he asks you to do, you will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment. That's not what this is about. Because when you're being led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's what I want to do today. I want to yield ourselves and just ask God to come and lead us by his Spirit today. Laurel, could you and Pastor Lori go up there and just sing this song through, and I want us to stand up. I hope this helped you today. The Holy Spirit is here. He wants to help you live like Christ. He wants to help you follow his will. He wants to empower you to go beyond just natural existence to a supernatural existence. Just close your eyes for a minute. Now, maybe you came in here and you weren't even expecting anything, but I know the Holy Spirit's expecting something from you. Maybe the Holy Spirit came to church today to receive from you. How's that? Are you willing to give him what he's looking for? He's looking for a heart that is totally dedicated to him. He's looking for a will that will be submitted to whatever he asks. He's looking for a heart that can be molded and transformed into what he wants. So as we sing this song, just surrender unto him. Listen to him. And if he says something to you today, be willing to hear what he says and submit to him. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. You have our life. You have our minds. You have our bodies. We surrender to you today. We thank you for coming and ministering to your people now. In Jesus' name.